Good evening and welcome to ABW Radio Show. How do you work out the result of an Arsenal game? Well, it's whichever team is playing in blue is going to lose. And that was the case here. A 5-1 win versus Everton. And I'm joined by two people on the other side of the pond. First start with Mr. Shredder. Shredder, how are you?
I'm flying high right now. Flying high right now. No, none of the Shaka Boo boys are going to get to me today. I'm a 5-1 win. Absolutely thrilled.
Don't at you, bro, as they would say.
No, they'll get at me. They can at me all they want on this one. They can at me.
I'm also joined by Dom. Dom, how are you? Which part of the world are you in right now?
I'm in Canada at the moment, so I'm about what would I be, Jace? About 2 or 3 hours west of you, time zone wise?
You're 4 hours west of me.
Yeah, there you go. So he's already nearly beer o'clock, and I'm just brunching at the moment.
Excellent. And I should probably be a couple of beers in with it being about 7:30 over here. But we'll get into the game. Interesting. Also, just start with the lineups before we should walk before we can run. Chase, we saw Mkhitaryan come in and Aubameyang also make his debut for the club. A little bit surprised with the formation or who was left on. Just talk me through it.
I sort of the talk between some of my friends here, and I know just people on Twitter in general were wondering. You know, everybody's going, "Oh, Aubameyang's certainly going to start." And there's that faction of that tries to think that, you know, and I legitimately didn't know, but there's also the people that think that, you know, Wenger goes, "Oh, well, Wenger doesn't really like to start people." Like in their first game in the league. And so I was really torn about, you know, whether he would start or not. I thought it was fine if he did. If he didn't, I would understand why. But no, it was good to see him start. I think coming from a league and country as physical as sort of the German game is, I think it lends yourself to maybe a little faster transition into the Premier League. You still got a lot of big center halves in Germany who like to throw their bodies around a lot. So I think the physicality, especially for Aubameyang, isn't so much of a stretch to you know, that you have to really give him a lot of lead time into the match. But I was just happy to see sort of three in the midfield and then three up top as well. And you know, four at the back is always going to be interesting as well. But obviously, you know, we only allowed one goal today. But you know, I think, you know, besides Aubameyang, it was what I expected. I know a lot of people were maybe calling for Wilshere. I'm not too sure that he's back to 100% fitness after his illness. So it really wasn't too much of a shock to me to see him on the bench.
Over to you, Dom. Similar question. Lacazette not starting as well. Are we reading too much into that, or is it just a case of Aubameyang's coming in and he's the informed striker, even if it wasn't at our club?
I thought, if anything, the surprise selection on the team sheet for me was Iwobi keeping his starting spot. I would have preferred to have seen Lacazette ahead of Iwobi, but you know, I'm sure the manager has his reasons for that. Maybe he doesn't think that Lacazette will give enough defensive cover in that position. But I honestly, yeah, I did think it was a little strange that Aubameyang's probably been at the club for all of less than a week and he was, you know, starting up front. Lacazette has been struggling for some confidence, though. It's been quite obvious to see in recent weeks that he's not been having a great time out there on the pitch. So maybe it was just a chance to give him a little bit of a break and get him fresh for what I assume will be a big Europa League campaign since Aubameyang is not eligible to play. Am I right in saying?
Yeah, he is indeed.
Yeah, so
He
I
is
think maybe there,
yeah,
there's
not
probably a little
allowed.
bit of that in mind as well, where he's a bit of, you know, a bit of both. I think he's just, I think it was pretty obvious to see, wasn't it? Anyone with a set of eyeballs could see that Lacazette was not having a great time of it, and was showing it visually on the pitch too. So yeah, maybe it was just a way to throw Aubameyang in. No pressure. There was not really any too much pressure on him going into the game, really, was there? Everyone was just sort of excited to see a couple of new shiny players run around on the pitch, and they definitely put on a performance for us.
Yeah, definitely. I think before we get into the game proper, just a shout out to everyone in the chat box. I see you've got Kman 1867 in there, Arkan Tiger, Norma, Big Stefan Selby in there as well, Daniel Gordon. All great for you to have a great chat in there. Let's get in with the game. First minute seemed a bit like the rest of our games, to be honest. Early pressure on Mustafi, who just couldn't get the ball from under him, really. Had to play the ball out to check to clear it. Jace, what is this with our early start to games where we just seem to be too lax?
I think it's been a problem, Mars, for a long time now. So I don't know if it's – I wouldn't necessarily pin it on Mustafi. I think he's the one now that maybe is probably the one who's at the most fault, obviously, just right now. But it's been, an issue that we've had for many, many years now. And we've seen some teams take advantage of it and some teams can't. Luckily, today it was just, a foot or two where they couldn't take advantage of us and pip the early lead from us. But I think it's one of those things where we get a lot of players who are just confident on the ball. And when you do get confident on the ball, sometimes maybe you get cocky on the ball and think you got a little more time than you do and maybe underestimate some of your opponents. I think that's just what happens is, Mustafi was brought here because he is very good on the ball. He's got a really good technique on him. And I think he just gets maybe a little sloppy sometimes. I think we saw that today. But luckily we weren't, it didn't come back to bite us in the butt there, but it is worrying because better teams are going to take advantage of you. And, the first 5 to 10 minutes of a game can really set the tone. And we seem to rarely set the tone ourselves in those first 5 to 10 minutes. And we do seem to really sort of make some lax errors. And I'm not quite sure exactly, obviously I think the times we've seen it the most are lunchtime kickoffs over in England where it's really, really, we've had some atrocious, games at those times. And you think later in the day or even in the evening, you'd be a little more prepared and maybe be a little fresher. But it's fortunate we didn't concede there. And, players are going to make a few mistakes. Sadly, I think the problem with us is we have a couple of players who continually make the same mistake. And you hope that they'll either learn on their own or it'll be coached out of them. But fortunate we didn't pay for it today. And I think Mustafi still had some rough moments, but he still had some really good moments in this match. And that definitely was a nail biter though early on.
Yeah, definitely. Dom, we didn't concede from that chance, but 5 minutes in and off two new men combined beautifully to set up Aaron Ramsey for the first goal. Talk us through it. Especially that pass from Aubameyang out to Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, I didn't really notice who that was until I saw the replay. And it was a lovely little, I think it was Ozil first to Aubameyang and then out to Mkhitaryan and then crossing in. So all the big names there as far as creativity goes were all linking up well together, which is really nice to see in, what is their first game. And like I said, it's not like they've been training together very long either. So it was just one of those typical free-flowing Arsenal moves going forward, which was nice to see the number seven not holding the ball, cutting in four times and then pinging it across field to launch an opposition counter-attack. So I had to just remind myself that the number seven that was running around out there today was not the one of a couple of weeks ago, which is quite nice to see attackingly anyway.
Also, no shins were hit by our number seven today. No defender shins were hit with a pass. I'm just going to throw that out there.
just lazy three assists on debut. It's nice to see, isn't it? I mean, I don't want to harp on about the Sanchez situation too much, but towards the end of his time, I was just getting so frustrated watching him because you knew exactly what was going to happen. Yeah. The selfishness of his play was costing us more goals than he was ever going to contribute to. If you go back and see just how many times he gives the ball away, I think, obviously the Swansea game is not a good example, but it's just going to put the defense under unnecessary pressure where you're losing the ball when you're not expecting to. And then all of a sudden opposition are just going to play a long ball up and get 2-on-2 or 3-on-3. So I was just really enjoying the freedom and the flowing play going forward today where it was just that little bit more unpredictable. And if it's unpredictable for us to see, then it must be unpredictable for defenders as well. So I think that's why we saw so many great opportunities and so many players getting into space as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that space was created. Sorry, Jace.
No, go ahead.
That space was created, yeah. Or at least left there, and Aaron Ramsey is the man that took full advantage of the space left by the Chilean turnover machine that has now exited stage right. But Jace, how did you reckon to Rambo today? He just looked completely fit, which wasn't the case, I think, against Swansea.
Yeah, I think you know, part of that was Sanchez would have to drop deep, and then he would sort of turn into a midfield runner into the box, and I think that took away a lot of opportunities for Ramsey. And without that forward dropping so far back in the midfield, I think that allowed some more space for Ramsey to make those runs into the box that were maybe a little bit more hidden, or maybe just a little later there, because we had the ball in deeper positions. So he's able to make that late run and then get that pullback, you know, from the byline or close to the byline. And I think, you know, it's good to see him come back from an injury as well. I mean, let's not forget he's been out for a little bit. It feels, you know, really, really good to see him sort of contributing like this so quickly after an injury. I know, you know, Dom's harped on not only radio shows, but podcasts as well, of just about sort of how injury prone he is. And I think in years past, we've seen him rushed back too soon. And I think finally we're taking a little bit more time and getting his muscles back and stronger before he comes back, instead of saying, all right, you're back to where you were before, go out into a game, and now they're just waiting an extra game or two. And I think you see that, and you see that he still, even later in the game before he was taken off, still had a lot of energy, still was running around out there. And I think that we got to credit the sort of the physio staff for taking their time with him, because he's obviously showed that with the right team-minded players around him, he can really exceed. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. Just, you know, all of Ramsey's goals seem to be really team heavy goals. It's lots of touches on the ball. It's lots of 1-2s. And Sanchez is an exciting player, and he can create things out of nothing at times. Let's not deny that. He definitely did that for us while he was here. But you bring in a guy like Mkhitaryan, who's a little more team focused and a little more technical on the ball in terms of passing, weight of passing and when to pass. I think we started to see that pay off today, obviously, because, you know, Ramsey's goals were just absolutely brilliant. Especially that first one, just with everyone involved.
Yeah, definitely. I've got a question from Unique79 as well that I think is pertinent at the moment while we're talking about how great the team is looking at the moment. That, do you feel that the team is now united? Because I feel like there was a bit of an issue when Alexis was still at the club. Dom, do you think that the team's got a bit more togetherness?
I don't know if you guys listen, or the people in the chat box listen to Arseblog at all, but he had a fantastic interview with the one and only Ornstein, who's, you know, obviously Twitter royalty. And that was really interesting when he was asked about that on the podcast. And even though, like David Ornstein was mentioning, you know, that even though obviously they're going to come out and deny that he was a disruption, so to speak, it was pretty well known that he wasn't exactly he wasn't one of the most popular of Arsenal players. You know, he wasn't really, not only on the pitch, where, you know, he obviously, everyone can see the quality that he has. He's a world-class player, but he's not exactly a team player. And apparently off the pitch, it was a little bit of a similar story where he just wasn't a social person with the guys. And I think so. I genuinely think so. I think if you put yourself in that position and you have a character like that, because I said it a long time ago, even at the very start of this season, if I was a left back and I'm making that overlapping run time and time again, and 9 times out of 10, that player should pass the ball down to you to create space. Every single time Alexis burns you, he cuts in, he takes 4 touches of the ball. You've already made your run. He tries a cross field kick. It gets cut out. Now you're out of position and you look like a moron because we're getting counterattacked and you've been caught out of position when you've done the right thing by making the right run. You just weren't past the ball. So if you're a player, that's going to get pretty damn frustrating, where you're constantly not receiving the ball first time in the right areas to keep things moving. And yeah, I think, you know, when the last season where he had all of those goals and assists, it masked that. You know, the players probably weren't as frustrated because he was also producing on the other end. But as soon as that production goes down, that stuff is going to be highlighted, as we all saw this season. So I don't think there's any question. If you get a player like that in your club, whilst they're doing amazing things, you can kind of brush over it. But the minute that they start having a bit of a dip in form and production offensively, then it is going to cause issues.
Yeah, definitely. We'll move on to 13th minute. Another goal. Koscielny with this one. Arsenal scoring from a corner. We need to get a klaxon for that, I think, because it happens so rarely. But Koscielny completely unmarked at the back post. Everton all over the place defensively. Shredder, talk us through it. Yeah, for that goal.
Yeah, it was actually it was a great flick on by Mustafi as well at the near post. And I think something that we continue to see sort of an hour set piece strategy is find that guy at the near post and let him put it sort of further into the box at a different angle and see if we can't confuse some people. And if people talk about how bad our defending is consistently, if you're Sam Allardyce, you just purchased Eloquim Mangala, and holy crap, what an absolute shit show he put on today out there for them. Just sort of ball watching, caught in no man's land. And if Koscielny hadn't scored that, Aubameyang was right there as well when it got his first, because Koscielny sort of bundled him out of the way to bundle it over the line. And I do love a Koscielny goal. They're some of my favorites because I love how he celebrates like he's also never, ever expected to score a goal. Like even himself, he never expects it. And he's also, I think, the master of a bundled ball just over the line. So really good. But off of a corner, your first goal, free-flowing, attacking football with all your big players involved. And then we come right back down the pitch and a few minutes later and do it in a completely different style. But I do want to give Mustafi some credit there because it was a great, great sort of flick on under a lot of pressure as well.
It looked like a training drill, didn't it? That one.
It really did. It was absolutely well worked.
Like a pre-planned, you know, he ran really hard to that spot to do that flick on. It was nice that it finally.
Yeah, absolutely. I think. You know, just like you said, it's something we train to, obviously, because I think we try to put that ball there quite often. And sadly, it oftentimes hits the first man. But obviously a great ball in by Ozil, and that allows, Mustafi to get in a rare assist for a defender. And Koscielny, who I think now did he hold up the five because he now has five goals this season? I think he's got at least three, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Someone in the chat box can check some stats for us. If Danny's not here to do the stats, so
yeah, if we can get Opta Joe in the chat box, that would be great. But no, it was absolutely wonderful to see, and like I said, just being able to score, against a team in multiple ways, definitely it adds new layers for your next opponents to have to watch for.
Would I be cheeky in saying that we actually look a goal threat from corners lately? With Monreal popping up, and he nearly had another one today.
Yeah, almost.
I think.
I'm going to say a little too cheeky right now, but if we score another one in the next couple of games, I think you're spot on, Dom.
I think when we had the time where Per Mertesacker was that man at the front post and flicking it on, we did look dangerous for a good, I think it was probably about a couple of weeks or so where we were, where that was coming off for us, and people then got smart and started putting someone on there. But I think when you've got a player like Mustafi or Koscielny, who are more interchangeable, they can switch and flip that role around and keep them guessing. But, you know, Everton were chasing shadows, and 5 minutes later, Rambo comes up again and smashes one in from long range. Dom, Pickford had no idea what to do because of the deflection, but it's just amazing to see how confident these players are, because that wasn't the first long shot that we'd seen in the game.
I was just really happy for Ramsey's first for the night, because he is one of, like I've said it before, from a fitness standpoint, has probably the best engine of any central midfielder in the Premier League. Maybe even, you know, and I don't know too many that would be able to keep up with him throughout Europe, to be honest, when he's fit, which is, you know, sporadic at best. But if you're a central midfielder or even a defensive midfielder and he is constantly making those late runs into the box, it is a nightmare to have to constantly be watching over your shoulder for it, because he can do it till the 90th minute. And I was really happy that he got that first one and he tucked it away perfectly, because we've seen it before. When Ramsey hits that form and he gets that confidence going, he can actually be a bit of a goal scoring machine. Remember that notorious season he had, I think it was 13-14, where he was just ridiculous. And that all started from, I remember distinctly thinking, I remember actually an interview that Arsene said that he wasn't quite finishing any shots and he was under a little bit of pressure, but Arsene said, look, that's not what I'm worried about. I'm happy because he's getting the shots. He's in the right areas and it's going to come eventually. And I'm just happy that today that he popped that first one away and the confidence rose. I don't know that he would have taken that second shot otherwise, because it's something that as Arsenal fans, we've been screaming out for, isn't it? Just to have a bit of a ping now and then and see what happens. And that's exactly what can happen if you're, you know, 0-0 or 1-1 or you're chasing a goal. Sometimes we try to get a little bit too cute and, you know, you have a bit of a shot from long distance and it can have a few rebounds and go in the back of the net and, you know, hey ho. So I was just really happy for Ramsey today that, you know, there's a lot of people asking why Wilshere wasn't starting. And I think most of that was because he was ill or weak, but I'm still not sure whether we're going to see too much of Ramsey and Wilshere in the same team. I don't know about you guys. Did you notice that Ramsey, other than those a couple of times where he does dart into the box to try to get on the end of a goal, to me, he actually did seem like he was staying a little deeper today for most of the general play. I don't know about you if you noticed that or was that just me seeing things?
I certainly noticed him definitely physically directing the other players to actually play him in for these chances. You could see that. I think this has happened when Mkhitaryan came in, that even after his almost cameo against Swansea, you could see he was pushing players around the field. The likes of Iwobi were getting told to go back, you're crowding my space, get out of the way. And with him being an experienced player, I think that it's certainly helping. And there's that kind of confidence and team mentality within the group now. And to see that Ramsey was asking for balls and the balls were coming in with the quality that we'd expect from an Arsenal forward line, that this could be like that reminiscent season of where he was smashing in goals until he ended up with an unfortunate, was it a hamstring injury that kept him out for about 3 months?
It was a quad, that one.
That one.
Yeah. But soft tissue injuries
are
part and parcel with that boy, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. So while we can rotate him out and we've got the likes of Jack in the squad who can happily change, you know, the way we're playing, then it was very good overall. But let's move on to the 36th minute. Jace, Aubameyang, debutant, he finally made his got his goal after Koscielny kind of pushed him out of the way of getting it slightly earlier.
Yeah.
But it was a goal made in Dortmund, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, it was. And who cares if it's offside? We get enough calls that go against us. I'm not even gonna really bring that up any more than to say that. But no, absolutely, absolutely brilliant. It was definitely a very Bundesliga-esque goal from his days there and his teammate Hendrik and everything. It was just, I did not see the chip coming. I legitimately got up off of my couch when the ball went in, just it sort of in shock. And then I instantly got sort of chill bumps. It was just one of those, like, you know, you think about players' first goals for a team. And I think maybe, you know, another one that comes to mind would be Elneny's against Barcelona, just an absolute screamer on that. And then this one, just the cheeky chip over Pickford as well to get your first. And it was just absolutely gorgeous. Again, well-worked football. And, you know, I thought he was going to score earlier. He had that one sort of breakaway where, an Arsenal forward or striker who can actually run past defenders to get onto a ball played in behind. I'm not trying to, you know, crap on other Arsenal defenders. It's just not been in our game for a while now. So it was absolutely lovely to see. And I think, you know, him actually being able to get one today. And I sort of cheekily put out on Twitter that, it took, I know Natasha is going to get mad at this because she was talking about why are we still shitting on, Sanchez, but I said, man, it seems like Sanchez took forever to score, you know, in his United debut goal compared to Aubameyang now. But it was absolutely world-class football and a world-class finish from a world-class striker who I think, you know, we've all been calling out for years. And it's so just, it's, you can, it's not something that we're like, oh, that seems to be a one-off. We know that there's more of that to come from him. And I think that's the most positive thing to take away from it, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Dom, do you think that this is going to be a combination we're going to see for the rest of the season with Mkhitaryan playing balls into Aubameyang to get the goal?
I hope so. You know, someone in the chat box saying Aubameyang is not world class. Well, you know, when you're the top scorer in the Bundesliga and you're outscoring people like Lewandowski and you score 31 goals in the season, then I'm not sure what your definition of world class is, but then, you know, not many people have done better than that. So, wasn't there a crazy stat like Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang combined for 60 odd goals in their last season together at Dortmund between the two of them, goals and assists together? Crazy. Yeah. So look, if they can, you know, get that connection back a little bit, then you add in people like Ozil and Ramsey and hopefully Lacazette as well, then, you know, we've definitely got the attacking options to cause teams some issues. I don't think anyone was too concerned about the attacking side of our game post-transfer window. I think it's definitely the defensive side of the game. I don't want to say much more negatively on the game other than this, and that's that even though we were up 4-0 and 5-1 at some points, Everton, had they had a little bit better end product, probably would have scored another couple of goals, because we still looked like Michael J. Fox on a tightrope. That's how steady we were in defence. So there was still some 2-on-2s, and there was actually a 4-on-2 in the 80th minute. I remember marking that down, just thinking, this is just, you know, peak Arsenal, isn't it? But look, I'm happy to win game 7-6 and not be Man United, to be honest. So I'm all for it.
Yep.
Yeah, certainly. We'll have to know what Jose was doing to Mkhitaryan up at Man United before he came
him
here,
because he looks like wing back, which is where Sanchez is going to end up in about 3 weeks, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. So we came into halftime 4-0 up at that point. Michael Keane had to come off for Everton for dizziness. I didn't see the incident. I just assume it was chasing shadows that led to that. But we did see Kolasinac come on for Monreal. Dob, is it worrying how often that Monreal's been coming off recently for little knocks and strains?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. I think today they said something about a knock to the hamstring or something like that, with more of an impact injury, like a corky, basically. I don't know what you guys call it, corked thigh or something, which can be pretty painful and annoying, but hopefully it's not anything, a recurrence of the ankle issues that he's had recently, because I think that's what's kept him out a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, what confuses me is the lack of trust in Kolasinac. I'd be interested to know what you guys think about that, where even when Monreal hasn't started, it seems like Ainsley Maitland-Niles has been preferred.
You've been dannied.
He's been a preferred option. I'm just going to call him AMN. He's been a preferred option in that left-back spot, which, by all accounts, he's not a left-back. And you've got the Bundesliga left-back. Team of the Year, wasn't he, last season? And he's not really been trusted, which I'm not sure if it's an issue with the manager not trusting him, or if he's just trying to give him some more time, or maybe he's been injured or not fit. I'm not sure.
I think he's a little bit shell-shocked from the fact he came in and had to play behind Alexis. That certainly doesn't help anybody when they're trying to learn a new league, especially at left-back. Jace, Kolasinac at left wing-back, or just left-back, general point. I thought he looked like a headless chicken, to be honest.
When was the last time the guy played?
He played a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly. You're proving my point. So we can't remember. So it's gonna take a little bit of time for one, it's his first season, knock some rust off. He got injured, he's been coming back, getting his fitness. I do think, there are some times when he may not seem to be in the position where we all want him to be in. Let's not sugarcoat anything. There are times when I think he gets a little too far up the pitch. He wants to contribute offensively. We saw early on in the season that he's absolutely 100% capable of doing that. So I think he does get sucked up the pitch a bit, and it's going to be a growing pain. And hopefully, you know, Boldy will just pull him aside in training and say, hey, just hold off on that. Just wait on those runs a little bit longer before you just go wandering up there. But I like him as a player. For a guy his size, he's got good speed. He can put a tackle in. He can put a cross in. You know, he can go around players as well. So I think it's just him actually getting maybe a little more playing time underneath his belt with us. And then, but right now you can't bench. You know, if Montreal's healthy, you can't bench him. Absolutely not. I love Kolasinac to death. I do think he's probably our future left back / left wing back, depending on what formation we play. But at this point right now, absolutely, you got to stick with Montreal because he's the man on fire, and maybe try to get, you know, Kolasinac some games in Europa League to help him find his find that head, so he's not running around headless anymore. He's running around at least maybe with a head.
Yeah, certainly. 51st minute, Arsenal, you know, come out. This isn't the first time this season that we've gone in 4-0 up and kind of come into the second half and second or first gear. Overplaying in our own half, and that led to Theo Walcott getting a chance. Theo Walcott crossing a ball was a surprise, especially when it made it to its man. I don't know where he's learnt that from in 2 weeks, but a great chance for them, really. That Czech managed to get a hold of. But I think that's where his injury came in as well, if I'm right in saying, in that incident, which we'll talk about in a second. But 63rd minute with Czech still visibly hobbling around. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's come on for Theo Walcott at that time. Cross not dealt with the aforementioned Kolasinac as well, Dom. Would you have thought he should have been able to do more? He was out-jumped by the man, and a man of that size as well should be really holding off an attacker.
Yeah, look, I think he should have probably done a little bit better. But what I would also say is, where was the rest of the team? You know, you don't really want situations where you've got your left back in the middle of two forwards jumping all over him. I'm not sure where the rest of the centre backs were, or maybe a defensive midfielder, or yeah. I mean, I think what you don't want to end up doing, the way that I see teams conceding goals, is where you turn one mistake into two mistakes into three mistakes, boom, goal. If that build up play, there was only one mistake made, generally you can sort of get away with that. But when you have the cross coming in too easily, then you have Kolasinac not jumping properly and could have getting muscled off it. Combine that with the fact that there were no other defenders around him to help out. There's too many mistakes in a row, and you're going to concede a goal. If it was just one of those things, the cross comes in too easily, but there was enough defenders around, then it probably wouldn't have been an issue. If the cross didn't come in at all, then it wouldn't have been an issue. So, yeah, I think the way that we've been conceding goals, especially recently, is it's been a combination of two or three errors in a row, and you just can't do that in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's one of the harshest leagues in the world for if you make a mistake, then you're going to get punished. It's certainly one of the issues that Championship teams have said when they come up as well. But eventually, Czech goes over. Ospina comes on. Do we know what the Czech injury was at all? Is it just anything more than a dead leg, or do you think we'll see him out for a little bit longer? Go to you again, Dom, for that.
Again, I'm not too sure on that one. I think it may have been another impact injury. Can't remember what one it was, where he tried to come out to smother the ball, and the striker ended up getting a toe on it first and it came off the post. I just think that impact in general must have... I'm hoping it's just an impact injury, because if he's tweaked a calf again, which he's done before, he's going to be out for a little while. And even though he hasn't been in the greatest of form, I'm not sure that having one goalkeeper in Dave the Binman really fills me with much more confidence, to be honest. So hopefully it was just a little knock or a little impact injury. But, you know, for a goalkeeper to end up coming off, it's usually not amazing news. But, yeah, to me, it looked like it must have been more of a knock.
Cool. Jace, Ospina coming on. Is that, you know, how do you feel about our goalkeeping situation at the moment?
I mean, we all know that Ospina's biggest problem is the crosses into the 6-yard box, and he just seems glued to his line. But I don't think he's a bad shot stopper. I think he's a good distributor of the ball. We just can't allow crosses when he's on. I mean, that seems like a pretty good thing to have our defense do, is to not let somebody cross the ball. It's pretty impossible to do that, by the way. But no, I think he gets a lot of stick because he is so lacking in that area, but I actually think he's a decent shot stopper, good distributor. We'll be fine. That our defense just has to make sure that they're communicating extremely well at the back when he's in there. Because it, even Cech's not the best with those, a ball into the box. He's a little bit better. But I mean, we've all seen the mistakes that Ospina's made. And I think today you even saw, there was one time when he caught the ball and he literally had to like completely hold it all the way out in front of his body, because his body was inside the goal mouth. So it's tough in that aspect, but at the same time, I think, you know, Ospina can do a job for us. He's done it for us in the past. And let's just get behind him, because if Cech's injured, we can't buy anybody. Nobody else is coming in. So let's just, instead of trying to poke a hole in everybody's games here, let's actually maybe not like try to actually support the players instead of just picking out their flaws.
Well said. Well said. 73rd minute though, you know, the goal didn't last long for them. Rambo with his hat trick, a ball across from Mkhitaryan, who drills it across for Rambo. Jace, how good does it feel to see Aaron Ramsey with a hat trick, and just how free flowing that was?
So I'm going to put my own spin on this. I was actually more impressed by the Mkhitaryan hat trick of assists that gave him, to come on and one to get that assist. The ball was almost going out of play. An Everton player had sort of slid. He literally, I think, cut off Bellerin, who was over there, from getting it. Was like, no, I'm going to get this. Got to the byline, pulled it back with a beautiful ball. And then Ramsey just absolutely, you know, slots it home for his hat trick. And so the hat trick of assists for Henrik, which has got to be the first time an Arsenal player's debut match was a hat trick of assists. Like, is any Arsenal, you know,
the stat home was that no one's had more than two assists in a game since Cazorla back in 2014 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So
anyone's had three assists in a game.
Absolutely. And so it was great to see his sort of familiarity. And he's only been here a week, but he seems to sort of maybe understand Ramsey enough with the training that they've had to know where he's going to be, or at least know, like, hey, if I'm playing with good players, like everybody says these guys are, if I put it on this spot in the box, there's going to be somebody there.
I think you're spot on, Jace. I think that Dave's Ramsey is, that's why I believe he's so underrated. You know how people said about Bergkamp that he would pass the ball where he thought you should be?
Yeah.
I think that Ramsey is that player that is in those positions. He reads the game so well. That's why he pops up in these goal scoring positions more than a lot of other midfielders around, is because he sees the spot, he runs into the space. And if you have the Ozils and now Mkhitaryans that can actually find him, I think it's going to be pretty exciting to watch.
I think this was such a great deal for us to get not just any player from United, but when I found out it was Mkhitaryan, I was so excited, because what I've said before, his sort of team ethic in the way that he plays football is going to fit our style of play so much better than Sanchez's did. And like I said, Sanchez absolutely had his moments for us and scored a bunch of great goals for us. But it sort of felt like Sanchez and then the rest of the team. And I think with the players we have here now, there's going to be some great, great goals like we saw today. Maybe not from Ramsey, maybe not from Mkhitaryan or Aubameyang, but I think from all over the pitch, because I think we're going to develop a trust with playing the ball on the ground to each other in the right areas, and a trust that we haven't had in this team probably for 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah, certainly. And I think we're moving back towards the time where, you know, picking an Arsenal player is a nightmare for, say, fantasy football, because you have no idea which player is actually going to be scoring the goals for us or getting the assists, because we're such a collective now. And I think that's what has really changed in only a couple of weeks as well. But we then saw Wilshere come on immediately after Ramsey had basically seen us finish celebrating. Was that the right change for you at the time, Dom?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with Ramsey only just coming back from a long-term layoff and Wilshere being sick, this week that, you know, just to give them both a bit of a run out and to bring Ramsey off while he's confident, while he's had a great game, before he starts to get too fatigued. Perfect, because we have a lot of games coming up. And what I've noticed with the whole, you know, how do we fit all of these players in the same team? I don't think it's going to be a problem, because I just don't believe they're all going to be fit and in form at the same time for longer than a week or two. And that's not being, it's not being pessimistic, but we've just not seen it even at bigger teams. You know, like Sane's out at the moment, someone else comes in. It's just, it's one of those things. It's why you need such a deep squad, that we're going to be able to rotate players, and that's what keeps players fit and fresh and sharp and not running players into the ground. Because that we can't sit here and complain that Ramsey and Wilshere are not being shoehorned into the team together, and then also complain when Ramsey plays so much that he gets injured. So it's just, it has to be that way with modern football, that players also need to understand that, that, you know, there's going to be times where Ozil's going to need a rest and Mkhitaryan takes up that creative role. And then maybe you can have Ramsey and Wilshere in the team together. And then maybe the next week in a Europa League game, you give a couple more of them. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not going to be too much of a problem. Even with the Lacazette or Aubameyang argument, you know, I don't think he's going to squish both of them in the same team just for the sake of it, because if one of them gets injured, then we're basically down to one. And it is a bit of a risk playing both. I'd love to see it happen. I just want to see us just play four defenders and then the rest attackers, and just see if we can just put 10 past someone just for fun.
Yeah, I think Stephen Edwards has asked basically that exact question, that does Laka come on if there's no Czech injury?
Probably. Probably. Yeah. I think with Aubameyang being again, there must have been a bit of a flu go through the team at some stage, because there was a couple of them that weren't so healthy during the week. But I would have said that it would have been a perfect game to bring him on for the last 20 minutes or so.
I actually think Oba brought the flu with him. He missed the bus bombing trial earlier in the week in Germany, and was getting slated actually in the press pretty viciously in Germany for missing that, missed it with the flu. And then, funny enough, the same day he shows up, signs for Arsenal, guess who's announced that they have the flu? Jack Wilshere. So I think there may have been a knock-on effect. Probably people were saying that Aubameyang had the flu so that he didn't have to go to the court hearing, but I think he actually did have it, and sounds like he sadly brought it with him.
Well, that's not part of the transfer that we really wanted. But
no, we could have.
I'm sure we got charged for it, knowing us. I'm sure they put it in the wage structure somewhere that we had to pay Dortmund for that part of the flu.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, we're coming towards the end of the game now. So if anyone else has got questions, stick them in the chat box and we'll start picking them up. The only other note I've got from the game would just be the penalty call towards the 90th minute for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I think this would be unanimous if I say that it was a dive. Dom, did you agree? Do you remember the
incident? Absolutely. He got a good position and then literally stopped, knowing that Mustafi was behind him, and then dove forward. And the referee was in a perfect position and I think made the right call. I don't think even – I saw the Everton bench kicking up a fuss, but, you know, you expect that. But on replay, I don't think they'll have too many arguments about that one.
Cool. Jace, same for you as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Dom summed it up magnificently.
Perfect. Right. Let's get into some questions as well. Got one from Kman1867. I'll fire this one over to you, Jace. As well as Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan coming to the club, we've also seen Alex Song coming back, who's been released from the club. He was at Russia, Ruben Kazan, I think, off the top of my head. Is this going to be a Flamini situation where he ends up signing a contract with us, or do you think he's just there for just giggles, you know?
It's tough to say. I'm of the mind that Alexander Song was not nearly the crap player we all think he was when he was with us. I think it was both of you know, RVP's most notable volleys came from assists from Alex Song. I think, just tactically speaking, I wouldn't mind having him around just to have a little more depth in midfield now that we've gotten rid of, you know, Coughlin. I think, you know, say what you want about Coughlin, but like Dom said, we got a lot of games coming up, and you get one injury to Jack or Shaka or Rambo or Elneny, and then all of a sudden we're real thin in the heart of that midfield. So you know, sure, like bring him on, and you know, let him play. I don't think I want him as our starter every match, unless he's just all of a sudden turns into like, you know, 2010, 2009 Alex Song. But it just, yeah, it's good that we bring him back. I don't know if enough to speculate, like, yes, he's going to come, and I haven't seen him play. I know he had some decent times at West Ham, but it's tough if you're not good enough for West Ham, not good enough for a team in Russia. Really, what can you do for us at Arsenal? But at the same time, we brought a kid back on loan from Charlton who ended up sort of saving our season. I hope Jace isn't listening to this.
No, I think Jace is just so drunk he can't remember his own name after Rambo getting a hat trick and the Welsh winning the rugby. Yes. So, yeah, shout out to Jace, of course, who I'm sure will be giving me pelters if I don't say give us a thumbs up if you enjoy the show. Give us a thumbs down if you're just a terrible person. Although, please don't, because, you know, thumbs up are the best. Another question. Let's jump in for one from AFC Cam. Dom, are our defenders and keepers poor quality? Or is it just the coaching?
Well, as far as if they're poor quality or not, I don't think so. I think we genuinely do have some world-class defenders. Koscielny plays for France. Mustafi plays for Germany. Petr Cech's been, you know, one of the sort of best goalkeepers for his country for a long, long time. And I do like stats here and there. It puts certain things into perspective. And Petr Cech's conceded more goals in his time at Arsenal than his entire Chelsea career. I think that just is a result of the styles of philosophy between the two clubs. And, you know, even I can answer two questions in one with the Alex Song thing. It wouldn't surprise me. I don't want it to happen purely because Arsene Wenger does not play with a defensive midfielder. And Alex Song is not a defensive midfielder. He was always pushing forward, trying to create, you know, not score goals, but he wanted the assists. He wanted those Hollywood balls. As far as a Kante type player, the last time we had one of those would have been Gilberto. And you look at the Arteta experiment. He was a ball playing creative player from deep. It wasn't about winning the ball back. It wasn't about having a destroyer or a breaker upper of play. It was about ball playing. And then he played and then you've got Xhaka there now, and as John Welsh will tell you, he was never a defensive midfielder.
Nope.
At Gladbach. Nope. So I think it's very, very, very obvious now that Arsene Wenger does not want a defensive midfielder. He wants his deep-lying playmaker. That's what he wants. And as much as we all would love a defensive midfielder to break up play and start some counter-attacks and just do the simple stuff, it's not going to happen under this manager. So I genuinely do think that we have some world-class defenders, and we've seen it before. When look at the FA Cup game against Chelsea, the final where everyone dug in and everyone defended. That wasn't really the direction of that's not how we normally play. That was a game where we all looked and went, wow, that was a certainly a very special performance from Arsenal, but it's not generally what we see week in, week out. So I think we will not see too much defensive stuff from Arsenal until the manager disappears. So
I think, Dom, on that as well, I think it was when talking about the defeat over Chelsea just a few weeks ago, I think after the match, Elneny was praised for his defensive performance that match. Yeah. Wenger specifically told him, hey, I want you to just sit in front of the back four. Mm. Just do that right now. That's all I want you to do. So obviously, typically, he's telling those players, you have freedom. Roam. Do what you want. If you can break up play, break it up, but I want you to get forward. That's obviously what he's telling. If he's going to pull you aside and go, hey, do this, it's probably not what you were doing before, which was having more freedom. And I remember an
Arsene Wenger interview recently about Coughlin. Well, recently, maybe it was the end of last season, where he said in an interview, I've told Francis Coughlin to push up the field and to try and break up play further up the field, which he wasn't doing. And it was just costing us because we were just getting trounced through midfield. But I can't see it being anything other than coaching and direction. So look, at the end of the day, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy performances like today, you know, and hope that our attacking play is enough to, hopefully our attacking play is enough to counterbalance that defensive frailty that we have, because I think that's what we've seen earlier this season, is that we're always going to be a little bit defensively frail. If you're such an attacking free-flowing team, you can't have it both ways unless you're Pep Guardiola, which is a bit of a freak season right now, but, you're going to be a little bit open and a little bit prone to a counterattack now and then. But if you're not finishing the chances and you're not scoring in the first place, then that's where it really starts to hurt. And hopefully, fingers crossed, that these new additions performances like today are going to be the norm for us.
I actually have a question for both of you on this, because I've sort of posed this in general. And I think, Josh, I know you watch a lot of, you know, football in England and also just sort of throughout Europe a little as well. Who does play with a true defensive mid anymore, other than like Chelsea and Conte and maybe like Matic at United? Isn't that sort of like
Fernandinho's been doing it at Man City?
But he still gets pretty far forward at times, though, doesn't he?
The thing with Fernandinho and Man City is that the way that the Pep's philosophy, as we know, is if you lose the ball, you have to win it back within 3 seconds. And if you do that, if you can turn the ball over, you're going to have counterattacks and free-flowing ball movement up to your forwards, and it's going to catch defenses out. Yeah. What we see too often is our sideways passing, and we let teams sit back and get into the box, and it's very difficult to break down. Even Man City would struggle with teams that get to do that, but they don't allow that to happen often. That's the trick that they have. We're not a pressing team. I think there are some teams. You Casemiro at Real Madrid, what's his face? That twat from Barcelona. His name escapes me right now. Busquets.
Busquets. Okay, yeah. There are
some players, and I genuinely think it's a position that
who's coming up though? The players you're naming are all 28 or 29.
I think Maitland-Niles could do a fantastic job if you what's the word? You know, if he matures in that role, if you genuinely have a coach that is going to be defensively minded in that area and give him a specific role, like Elneny did against Chelsea a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned, that I think it's a fantastic position to put a lot of emphasis on. I think that everywhere, like you look at Leicester's winning season and everyone whacks lyrically over, obviously, Vardy, Mahrez, but everybody that knows, even the pundits and Leicester fans were saying Kante was the best player for them that season. They are so important when you get a good one, you know, and I just, you know, look at Arsenal's most successful years, Petit and Gilberto, defensive, you know, powerhouses. I don't understand why we've gone away from it, but it's not, like I said, it's not going to change until we get a new manager. And even then, maybe we get another manager with a philosophy similar to Arsene and we don't play with one, but I'm a big believer of them. I love that shield that they offer. And if you have the creativity of your Ramsays and your Ozils and your Mkhitaryans, then you don't need it from Xhaka. You know, you need some defensive stability from that player. You don't need 15 creative players on the pitch, but that's just my viewpoint on that position.
Yeah, I'd say where you're actually seeing a defensive midfielder or DM, as we're referring to them as, you actually see them in world football coming up at the three at the back formation instead. That's where you saw the likes of Bonucci. I would call him more of a defensive midfielder than a centre-back because of how he was playing. That he's sitting in the same position that your DM would. He's shielding that back too. So you've got the likes of Chiellini and Balzagli either side. They're the centre-backs per se. And then you've got this guy that could play the ball out, play a simple pass or play a decent long pass that would get the team up the field, and he would just trot up with the centre-backs a couple of yards in front of them. That's where I would personally see it. We saw that with Elneny against Chelsea, that you could argue and say we were playing three at the back with Elneny sitting between the two centre-backs. It's only become an in vogue thing that you refer to it as three at the back if the centre-back's playing in that position, or if a midfielder's playing in it, then it's a two. But there's very, very little difference between the two formations, to be honest.
The other thing I like about that is it allows the fullbacks to get forward and not worry so much about being caught out if you've got that person that can run across and cover down the sidelines as well, should there be a counter-attack, and you've got that defensive player sitting back waiting for that to happen. But yeah
we've needed that since Bellerin came through the side. We saw it that we became too unbalanced when Monreal was pushing forward as well, because we didn't have that DM. Yeah. So he had to come back and sit. And then you found when we had Gibbs, you had to do the inverse, and you had to play Debushi around there, who's more a defensive right back, and Gibbs would be firing off. It just made us unbalanced defensively. So we always need to make sure we've got three back there. I think it's how you have that person that's sitting between two defensive players of what position they start in when you look at a formation sheet. But otherwise, I think we do play with that defensive player. It's just not always seen necessarily by an infographic that you see before the game. But I think that also would come into Ryan Cost's question of, would you like to see a 4-4-2 diamond? I don't think we've got the personnel for it, and it makes us awfully narrow, that formation. Would you agree? Because width is something that we desperately cry out for at Arsenal.
I agree with you, but we don't play with wingers anyway. That would be the argument that I have to that, is that the players that you put in these wide positions want to come inside anyway. Your Alexis is when we had him, and now if you've got Mkhitaryan, he's not going to do bursting runs down the side. And the fullbacks, unless they can create that width, we're not really stretching teams down the sidelines anyway. But again, I'd love to see it. Like I said, I'm a big fan. If you went 4-4-2 diamond, you have the back four, then you have Xhaka sitting in front of them, Ramsey and Wilshere, or you could have Ramsey Mkhitaryan, or you know, a combination of those three, Ozil as an attacking mid, and then Aubameyang and Lacazette up top. It would be awesome to see. The problem with it is, like I said earlier, that you're basically risking a situation where if you get an injury or something here or there, then you're really costing yourself. So, you know, that goes in with someone's comment. I think it was Michael. Was it Michael said something that he was... Oh, no, sorry, Linda Smith said that she was a little bit disappointed that Lacazette was warming the bench today. And that's going to be the thing. You look at Man City, they don't generally play with both of Aguero and Gabriel Jesus. They usually just play one or the other, and that works out. You don't have too much unrest in that team. If you're going to be a successful team, I think modern footballers now are happy to understand that they're going to have to share game time. There's just so many games, so much fixtures. You know, the injuries come thick and fast. That gone are the days where you're going to just stick Thierry Henry up front for all 38 Premier League games and every other game of the season, and that's just going to be your team sheet. So I'd love to see it. I really, really would, but I don't think it's the most sensible thing to do either.
Yeah, I think it's also one of those that I don't know if you guys have seen it as well, where they were bringing out those classic formations from, you know, title winning sides from either Arsenal or Man United, and revealing how many times that team had actually started a game together. And I think it was the Invincibles side that, when you think about it, you know, Lame at the back, Sol, Kolo, Lauren, Ashley Cole at left back, moving up through the field. I think we can name all of them, but that team only started two or three games at all in their entire time at the club. So I think it's another thing that we're looking at, it that rotation is a thing, and Arsenal, it's always been a thing, really, that we're never going to have our strongest side out week in, week out. And I think having someone like Lacazette on the bench is a wonderful thing to have. We've been crying out for strength and depth for so, so long within the side. But I don't know if you guys agree with that. That's why I don't think we'll ever see Lacazette and Aubameyang start a game together, but more as a last ditch. Oh God, we really need to get a goal because we're 2-0 down. Jace, would you agree with that?
Wholeheartedly.
Cool. we should go to... I've got one final question here, unless I can find another one in the chat box. Michael Hyman, is anyone else worried that we will be short of attacking options in the Europa League? Obviously, we've got that Aubameyang is cup tied because of Dortmund's fact that they're still in the competition. Jace, is it between Welbs and Lacazette?
It is between them. We still have Nketiah, who will probably bring off the bench there as well. But yeah, I think we're going to see a lot. I think we're obviously going to see Lacazette start there, Welbs, and then probably like Nketiah and Reece Nelson come on off the bench from attacking options in wide places. So I'm not so concerned with it. I think the one other nice thing is that'll, leave Aubameyang fresh for we need to make a better push in the league. I think that'll allow us to do that. And it will allow Lacazette to get some good minutes and some important minutes. I mean, Europa League may be our best chance to qualify for Champions League. So we can't take those games lightly. They're massive games. And hopefully he's being told that at the club, that he, look, this is your spot to earn your way back into the first team. So hopefully, yeah, I'm not too concerned with that at all. I sort of like you guys were talking about just the rotation, because we got a lot of games coming up, and it'll be really good to see some of those players. Hopefully, I wouldn't like to see too much change in Europa League from front to back, but definitely up top, giving some of those younger players and Welbs and Lacazette some time to see what they can't do for us, to see if they can contribute in the league.
It's finally a position that we can complain about in a good way, though, isn't it? Having two £50 million strikers that we have to, try and fantasize about putting in teams and worrying about who's playing where. The reality is that if fingers crossed Lacazette stays fit, he's more than capable of carrying us through the Europa League. He's a fantastic, fantastic striker. So let's just hope that he gets a little bit of confidence and some form back. That's a competition for him to know that he is going to be the man. I can't see Welbeck kicking him out of a striker spot anytime soon for that one. So I'm looking forward to that.
Not to beat a dead horse here, but I'm going to beat this dead horse. I think our style of play without Sanchez will also benefit Lacazette in the long run as well.
I think so too.
I think he's going to be able to make those. I think he'll be seen on those runs a lot more when Sanchez had the ball in times past. Now we've got Mkhitaryan and Ozil who can both pull those strings from midfield and from wide positions. So I think when he does come back into the side, I think people are writing off Lacazette way too early. He's not a big, strong striker. He's coming from the French league, which it's not overly it's physical, but it's not overly physical like the Premier League. It's going to take him time to adjust. He's already got 9 goals. Christ,
Europa League may suit him a little better. And
at this time,
I saw from a lot of United fans that said that Mkhitaryan was actually one of the major reasons that they won the Europa League last season. He performed brilliantly in that. And that was, in a team that he wasn't exactly pulling up trees at. So, fingers crossed those two can put a little bit of form together for the Europa League, because like you guys said, it could be our best chance at qualifying for Champions League. And it's a trophy that we have a little bit of a chance, a little bit of a sniff at potentially winning if we can put a run together. So I wasn't that excited about the Europa League, to be honest. And I don't think I will be until we draw a bigger side, perhaps. I think as the competition gets a little deeper, it's going to start to spark my interest a little bit more too.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's the case with the Champions League. I think the group stages, while we were in there, were kind of meh, to be honest. It wasn't until they changed the way that the draw was laid out that you never really got a big team in there. And if we did, we always ended up with one of Barcelona or Bayern Munich, and it just got a little bit boring and repetitive. Go out to Munich or go out to Barcelona, get smashed by 5, and then go home again and have a resounding home leg against them. But I think with the fact that Lacazette fired Lyon to a semi-final last season in this competition, and it's being held at their ground this season, if I remember rightly, the final. So I'm sure that he'll find the motivation to get through there. But I think that was our last question of the evening.
I wouldn't mind asking you guys what you thought about. We haven't really actually spoken about Mkhitaryan's performance as a whole. Was there anything that surprised you about his performance? Because I know that there was a couple of things that, you know, not necessarily the offensive part of his game, but I thought that he worked really, really hard today.
Yeah, I think he'd come across to me stockier than I would expected. In terms of his build, I thought, you know, it was going to be similar to an Ozu of a couple of seasons ago before that he'd started going into the gym and bulking up his upper body. But no, the fact he was holding men off the ball and really getting down and dirty with it, really, was a great thing to see. It wasn't something I really expected, because I've just almost had the assumption that if, you know, Mourinho is not using you in his team, it means defensively you're just a shambles. But he really, really has surprised me how he's hit the ground running. And I think it's just the system suits him down to the ground, to be honest. Jace, what about you?
I mean, let's not forget this. I mean, he seems like a very sort of, I'm like, I don't want to call him meek. I think that's probably not the right phrase, but he seems just like a very down to earth, sort of salt of the earth type of guy who just wants to play football and have people appreciate his football. That seems like that's what he wants. And I think today we saw maybe another side of him that I think Wenger spoke about, is he's hungry to prove people wrong about how he performed at United. And he's out to prove a point to United for saying, like, look, this is what I could have done for you. And this is the player you could have had if you had allowed me to be myself and not stifled me. So it's great that we've got a player like him who seems like an absolute brilliant, nice bloke, have that chip on his shoulder as well when he's out on the pitch wanting to prove people wrong. Because I think time and time again, this team gets accused of possibly being too nice at times and not having a chip on their shoulder and being maybe a little too laissez-faire with our attitude. So to have him come in, and you could see the determination in his face today, and that's what was so, I think, for me, sort of positive about it. I'm not trying to say like I told you so, anything like that, but I could see this coming with his style of play, how well he was going to do in this team setup, and for him to hit the ground running like this today is absolutely fantastic. I just hope that the folks over at AFTV don't think he's going to do this every week.
I was just about to say that, Jace.
When he only gets two assists, they're ready to sell him off to,
you know, your creative players are going to have off games where it just doesn't click for them, and you know it's going to happen to the best players in the world, but.
They're already setting Aubameyang up for failure as well. Basically, like they're saying he should get like 30 goals practically by the end of the year. Like let's be realistic, folks. Like this is a hard league to score in.
Aubameyang today was the signs that I loved were that he, first of all, that pass out to Mkhitaryan to set up the Ramsey first goal. That was really nice to see. But the first glimpse of it was the Ozil ball that he played. Amazingly, you know, through all the defenders, and Aubameyang was just so lightning fast. Yeah. We haven't seen that from someone for a long, long time. And that is going to be the difference between him and Lacazette, is that Lacazette isn't capable of that run. Giroud was never capable of that run. And now finally Ozil has a player that he can look up and play those types of balls that he's capable of. And I think that's where Ozil is so fantastic, is that there aren't many players in the world that can play that ball time and time again. That's going to cause the defenders all sorts of grief. But, you know, Aubameyang's debut got an offside goal. He was basically in the stands when he kicked it, which was awesome because it's about time we got one going our way. But other than that, it's not like he was involved in as much as what Mkhitaryan was. It wasn't like he had 15 shots at goal or anything like that. It was just a really nice, tidy home debut, fantastic finish, made some fantastic runs, and there's some really positive signs to build on. So,
I think the key... For me, at least, going back to like Josh's original question with Mkhitaryan, for me, he was the man of the match. I think they gave it to Ramsey because you got to give it to the guy who gets three goals, whatever, fine. But he wouldn't have got those goals, obviously. I mean, it was two direct assists to Ramsey for Mkhitaryan there. Plus, him and Ozil were just in every single creative move that we had this match.
What's going to be difficult for teams is, like you were saying before, Jace, is if Mkhitaryan does have a bit of an off game.
Yeah.
Maybe Ozil pops up and has a terror. And then if Ozil's a little off because he's being double marked, maybe Mkhitaryan is more free and gets a bit more space, which is probably what we saw today. I think that teams are going to be a little bit more Ozil conscious for the time being. And if that means that he's just going to be driving the team forward and playing from a little deeper and getting things moving while Mkhitaryan is pulling the strings, then so be it. But
I think you saw part of that today, actually early on in the match, where when Everton did have the ball, they couldn't get as far forward, especially in the midfield, because their deeper midfielders had to respect Ozil and Mkhitaryan. Mm. You absolutely have to have a guy around them in case you lose the ball. And I think that's why we saw some ineptitude in Everton's attack early on, is because you have to know where those guys are at all times. And you're going to hesitate to go forward to check over your shoulder and see where those guys are at before you move forward. And I think that's where we're going to really cause, maybe not back lines, but we're going to be able to open up some midfields this year with those two, you know, like a hot knife through butter at times with the way that they play and how creative they are. And that's, I think you're spot on. It's so right. If Ozil's having a bad game, Mickey can pop up, or vice versa. And plus the way that they sort of interchanged today, specifically Mkhitaryan and Iwobi, I think really caused a lot of problems for sort of the defense there for Everton, which I, you know, whether it's Iwobi or somebody else that we put out there, I think it'll be good to see sort of that fluid interchanging across that sort of that second three right behind the striker that can really create havoc and create and open up a lot more for Aubameyang.
Yeah, just one of the players that you mentioned there as well, Jace, one that we should probably mention, because I think personally had a really good game and he's not always brought up on it. Alex Iwobi, what did you reckon to his performance? Because I think since Mkhitaryan's come in, I think that he's getting players around him a lot closer, so he has more options to basically play the pass off. I think we saw a couple of times that his dribbling was shown to be, I still think, one of the best in the club. But how did you feel that he performed today?
Obviously, I still think he's a young player, and so he's going to make some mistakes, and there's going to be some – he's not going to have the intuitiveness of an older player. And so we're going to have to just deal with that, and he's going to make some mistakes. But I was very happy with his performance today. I love his interplay down the left-hand side with Monreal. I think those two have developed like a really good partnership with each other. Plus, it's – you know, he's somebody who can put a cross in. He also understands when to pull the ball back and maybe not make a stupid mistake and give the ball away, and he'll play the safe ball sort of back out to the edge of the box. So, yeah, I thought, you know, solid performance, didn't tear up any trees, but I definitely think he acquitted himself well out there.
Yeah, Dom, what did you reckon to Alex Iwobi's performance as well?
It was okay. I don't think it was anything to get too, you know, over the top about, but it's something for him to build on. I don't think that he's been in the best of form, and I don't think he's going to come off after that performance and be too down in the dumps either. So, you know, we always like to pick at certain players. I know that I've done it before, but at the end of the day, we all want them to succeed and we all want them to do well, because that makes the team do well, and that's what we all want. So, look, I hope that it's something that he builds on. I still think maybe he was thrown in the deep end a little bit earlier in the season. Yeah. And there wasn't really a chance for him to do what we did with Lacazette today and give him a little bit of a rest and bring him off, because we didn't have the likes of Ramsey and Wilshere fit at the same time. We haven't had the, you know, and then Theo Walcott gets sold, and Iwobi's sort of been shoehorned in with the Alexis situation. So, look, it's something for him to build on. That's probably what I would say for that one. But I still would like.
Dom, of I don't know, our good friend Lord Hillwood, you know, always wonders at his age and his fitness. He always does seem to get a little tired early. Is that something that he'll develop as he grows? Like, is his body sort of still adjusting, or is that something that we should be concerned with the world?
Yeah, I've mentioned it about 12 months back as well, that it is a little concerning that he should have enough pre-seasons under his belt now, and he does play regularly enough that he should be able to see out 90 minutes more frequently than he does. But yeah, he definitely gets to that 70, 75 minute mark and really starts to look like he's got the heavy leg syndrome. So it definitely has been something that's been noticeable in the past. It's not like he's playing a position like a Ramsey midfield position either, where he's up and back. I thought tonight I did see him in some really great defensive positions though, which was nice to see. I did see him getting back and covering that left side towards the end of the game. So you know, maybe for him, it's just going to take him an extra season or two to build that engine a little bit. But I'm hoping it's something that now with Darren Burgess at the club that, you know, not just him, but all the players start to get that elite level fitness. Because Darren Burgess, I've said before, is in my mind, probably the best in the world at what he does. And so if he can't sort OOB out, then we've definitely got some problems.
So is Giroud, but move on.
Yeah, is that something that is just relative to the amount of distance that we cover as a team? Because I know Elneny and Ramsey are throwing out stupid stats like 11 kilometers a game.
They're two athletes that are not fair to compare yourself against. What the metric that you go by is repeat effort. You know, if you can produce an 85% sprint speed in the first minute and you can still perform that same 85 sprint speed and cover the same distance in the same time in the 85th minute, then, you know, you're an athletic freak. And it depends how many of those sprints you've done throughout the game. And if you look at those metrics from someone like Aaron Ramsey, the amount of sprints that he does in a game is just absolutely beyond belief. And it's why he will pop up in those positions that he does and get the chances to score those goals that he did today, because there's no midfielders that can track him. It's just impossible. So that is his greatest asset, I think, as a midfielder, is his ability to just keep performing those same runs over and over again and grind whoever is supposed to be marking him into the ground. And your central defenders are too worried about the strikers to worry about Aaron Ramsey popping up. So, you know, you don't want to be comparing yourself against it. And Elneny has an elite engine too. Don't get me wrong. He's another one. But yeah, look, I do think Iwobi need that is one part of his game that he needs to get better at, because, you know, if you are getting to that 75th, 80th minute and they bring on a substitute and you can't cover and you get caught out of position because you can't track back, that's how you end up conceding late goals. So definitely something that he will need to work on.
So I think that is everything for today. Next game we have got is against another small team away from home. I expect a better performance in the North London Derby. Just quick thoughts from you guys on, do you think the same team and formation for that game? Or would you make a slightly different change for the North London Derby?
I'd probably go with the same team.
I would be inclined to drop Iwobi for Wilshere and just overcram the midfield a little bit and just go on the safe side. I think that would be a sensible option.
Just hoping that Wilshere's ankles can take a battering from Eric Dier and Dele Alli if they can get close to him. But yeah. Thanks to everybody in the chat box today. You've been awesome as always. And thank you to our two guests this evening. Cheers, Jace, and cheers, Dom, for everything.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, and thanks everybody for watching.
Cool. We've been a Burkamp Wonderland. This has been the Everton Radio Show, and we shall speak to you North London Derby, which I think is on Saturday.
Yep.
And I cannot tell you who is hosting and who's on the radio show.
Lunchtime kickoff, so.
Yeah, but that's what we're next to you. Thanks for having us. And we'll speak to you guys soon.